What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. It's time to get this party started with Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to Footy Prime the Broadcast, a broad perspective of all things footy. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
My phone was plugged into my computer, so it was trying to get the camera off my phone for some reason. I was just like
weird, charging
my phone from my computer. So I had to switch it from FaceTime to, anyways, here I am.
I feel like you've been on not that long ago.
Yeah, but I don't think it was this. Were you not using Zoom?
No, it was definitely StreamYard.
Maybe I did it on my phone. I think I just did it straight from my phone. Yeah,
it could be. Well, I know when there was a mix-up before, which, how dare you, Cara, not show up to a podcast? No, it's entirely my fault. I didn't specify time zones. So,
well,
I take full blame for that.
I said, yes, I'm on the West Coast. In the same sentence, can we do this? And you said, pick any time. So I was like, oh, they can do late. Sorry.
No, apparently not. They were so disappointed in me. And then they were like, is that even a real email address, when they saw your email address?
Because it's .ca.
Yeah. And they're like, that doesn't exist anymore.
I can't give it up.
That wasn't the issue.
I like confusing people.
I think it is. It's of a different era.
A lot of people send stuff to .com all the time. If they're like, did you get my email? I'm like, no, it's .ca. And then they're like, oh, yeah, I definitely sent it to .com. Ricky's always like, change your goddamn email address. I'm like, I can't.
You're like, nope. Married
to it. Probably missing a lot of important information. And CaraLang@Yahoo.com is so mad at you.
Do you think that there is a CaraLang@Yahoo.com?
Probably. I don't know.
CaraLang@Yahoo.com, if you're listening, apologies, but also
forward my goddamn emails.
Our producer was like, oh, so Cara Lang Romero tweeted something. I was like, okay, buddy, you don't know who that is, do you? I'm like, we need to have a little conversation before you talk.
Yeah, I have to tell myself that it's Romero as well. So listen, listener, this is Freddy Prime the Broadcast. We've got Claire Rustad here. Rian Wilkinson should be joining us, hopefully. I've sent texts. I've not a great track record with guests so far in the last couple of weeks, but Cara Lang Romero, or you know her from her Hall of Fame career with Canada, Cara Lang, is finally on the broadcast / Footy Prime. Happy to have you here, Cara. Finally, I take all the blame.
No, like I said, it was 75-25. I'll take 25% of the blame.
Yeah, no, but yeah, it was mostly my error. But yeah, so we'll wait till we'll get into it, and then hopefully Rian will. We're not going to wait for her. She's the one with the hard stop. She's working. Like, huh. She's back in Canada, but she's still on Welsh time.
This time too, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Rian.
I'm pretty sure there's something there that Rian's forgetting about. But anyway, we're gonna soldier on. But we're so happy. Did you see, by the way, Cara, what I tweeted out last night as a teaser for today's episode?
You know who? I did not. Ricky saw it and he was dying. I don't think he believes me. Like, the story that Carm told him, that she was at my ninth grade basketball game with a giant sign that said Wang. I don't think he was like, no, that didn't happen. That's not true. Like, this is one of those things that over the years has been totally exaggerated. I'm like, no, this happened.
Yeah.
I think now he believes. So thank you.
Yeah. That was Claire and I walking. What were we doing?
We were walking out our feelings is what we were doing.
We were.
For some
in
reason,
Toronto?
was, yeah.
We had supper with Dee and we took a long back
sweater to keep myself warm. I look like I'm like, I don't know, on the way to an exam or something. And Amy clearly only took one picture of me looking like disoriented and confused. But yeah, well, we're walking out of feelings.
But it was important that you were pointing
Ricky
to
also
the Lang
said
Lang sign.
Nobody was guessing it right. That like nobody had any idea what you were talking about. Your joke didn't land, Amy.
Well, let's be honest. They don't land all the time. But they're enthusiastic.
Yeah, I've listened. I heard you referencing SNL. I heard you referencing SNL on the Rick Wentz podcast. And I was like, Amy's at it again. At it again. At least it wasn't a Seinfeld quote that nobody knows what you're talking about.
But speaking of Seinfeld, though, I mean, and that is harkening back to the national team days because so many jokes that didn't land there. But I was on, I mean, Claire doing the good work as usual on CBC with Signa Butler for the call. I was on the TSN radio broadcast call. And because Endemann played for Germany, we had an Entenmann's cake joke going from Seinfeld. So anybody who's into that, yeah, you can go back and listen, but it wasn't my best work. But anyway, yeah. And there was a minge, but Claire correct.
I know.
It was the correct Minga.
We had to deal with
called her minge.
A referee named Barbu.
I mean, is that better though? Because I just think minging when I hear that.
I don't know. A minging minge.
Yeah. We had a referee in the previous game named Carbooby.
Carbooby?
Like, Carbooby.
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 Yeah.
My kids would love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love
At least
that.
It wasn't Carbooby's minge. I digress. Okay. This has been a long, meandering, unfocused beginning, even by my standards. All right. This is the broadcast. Unfortunately, Canada are out, so they lost in the quarterfinals to Germany. After a resurgent second half and even extra time, but really lacked qualities and penalties again. But I mean, it's, I think, a broader look at everything that this run meant for that squad. And then on that note, we have our friend Rian Wilkinson, who is here. Rian, perfect timing.
Yay. Was it perfect timing? I was sitting here working and I lost track of time. I'm so sorry.
I knew it. That's okay. You're here.
Hi, Cara. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. Enjoying Vancouver and the time change.
You guys can both hear Rian and I can't, right? Great. Awesome.
You can't hear Rian?
No. This happened the other day with you.
Oh my gosh.
Claire, it's a me problem.
Do you want to hop out and hop back in?
Man, I'm really ruining this, aren't I?
No, you're not.
I think it might have been maybe
I could
me.
Argue
oh,
that.
Boy, there she is. I hear her.
Okay.
Okay,
we're ready to go.
All right. We're about to launch into this match. So this right. quarterfinal match, this team, which had been up against it, this redemption arc had done so well. And then finally, I think the narrative is starting to shift to we're the holders. We're the defending gold medalists. Let's go. It had a very poor first half, I think, against Germany and ended up clawing their way back into that match, but on the wrong end. And it ends there. So maybe, Carl, let's start with you. We'll get into kind of the broad strokes and a look at the tournament overall, and then what it means kind of short-term, long-term for this program and also for Canada soccer. But what did you think of that matchup against Germany?
I mean, I thought they could have had it. They were certainly, especially in the second half, you know, if they had just been able to put one away and save themselves from going to PKs, I also think losing Jesse Fleming at halftime was the killer. I think that just... She's the heartbeat of this team. You don't have your captain out there when you're already up against it and you're already fatigued. I think they just really needed her. I think also she could have been one of the ones to put away one of those chances.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, the opportunities inside the box or just outside the top of the 18, she would have put one of those away. And if not, she definitely would have put her PK away. So I think there's many layers to how much they missed her in that match. So that's super unfortunate. I hope she's okay. Have you guys heard anything? It's like, what's the status on her obvious concussion?
I haven't heard anything.
That's hard. That was really hard. So, and just a hard way, you know, for her too, individually, like you've come this far and to not even have a chance to be the difference maker that you could be when it counts. I mean, that's super hard. I think Awuzie was a big highlight. huge highlight. I mean, if there's anything to take, it's just like she's got a really bright future ahead of her. Like her pass completion was great. The chances she was creating. She just was daring, you know, in a way that I think we need to see a bit more there throughout the tournament. There were a lot of situations where I was just like, somebody just have a go with conviction, you know, mm-hmm. there and just believe in yourself. And she's got that. So that's really positive for me.
Yeah, there's a brazenness to her play, right? And like that conviction is a word I really like, because that's what they lacked in penalties.
Yeah.
Like the German penalties were, they were exacting, they were precise, and maybe everything that you would expect from a German national team. But Canada just really lacked it. And it went back to, I think, penalties and the experience they've had so far this year on the wrong end of two penalty shootouts to the US, and she believes, and in the W Gold Cup, more successful against Brazil, but just never looked like they had kind of that bite, that, you know, the ruthlessness in front of goal, I think, overall in the match, but especially in those penalties.
Well, and so much of it is an attitude, because how many of those players stepped up where you looked at them and you said, oh, this is in. She's got this. This is going in. Like, they look tentative stepping up to the ball. And then also just like Adriana Leon, like telegraphing her PK, like of all the players in that lineup that I would have expected to just bury it. Like, why is she not burying it? And why is this not something that was harped on leading into this tournament? You've won a gold medal already off of PKs. How is this not something that you guys have dialed in at this point? Like, every player on the team should be able to step up and bury a PK. And to see somebody, like to see Germany the way they did it, how many of them were side netting perfect. Mm-hmm. You do that. It doesn't matter if they're guessing the right way or not. Doesn't matter what kind of scouting they've done. Like, if you hit it in the side netting, it's a goal.
Yeah, and so, impossible to save, even though Sheridan's diving impossible. The right way more
she made
often
the right,
than not.
She guessed right. Yeah, like she did great, in my opinion. But I just think that was hard to watch after coming so far for it to come down to something like that. It's just really difficult.
Claire, did you want to weigh in on the penalties? I mean, we were going to get there. I thought just a broad look at the game, but I think maybe we start with the penalties and your take.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, all the Germans hit the ball with conviction. I mean, even Lohmann, who blew it over the bar.
At least she fucking hit it, right?
Yeah. Hit the ball. Yeah. And I wanted to just pop back to Simi Iwuzo, because I thought, like, Cara, you're right. She just was a really nice revelation in that match. I think she kind of grew into the tournament. And what I liked about her is the number of times that she tracked back, won the ball back, and her first thought wasn't just play it back to the to one of the center backs. Her first thought was track back, win the ball back, turn, and get forward. Like, either play. She played a couple of really great kind of long direct balls forward, but she just that instinct to go forward was great. I think it bounced out well with Quinn. I mean, Quinn tends to kind of go back more than Wujo, but it was really nice to see. I agree, losing Fleming at the half was problematic. I didn't think they started with the starting lineup they should have started, but I mean, that ship has sailed.
Was that was a rare misstep for me from Andy Spence. I wanted to, I'm just underline this. So when the starting lineups were kind of put on the screen, they had him as stand-in coach, Andy Spence. I prefer caretaker manager. Rian will go to you after this because you are actually a manager. But I was thinking like other turns of phrase that could be used are waiting in the wings manager, understudy manager, and maybe one that wasn't as popular but got some good votes, quote, not Bev, end quote. So I don't know what
emotional
you guys...
support manager.
Correct. Yeah. Rian, thoughts?
I mean, I think if you say emotional support manager, you're probably, I think, getting to where we're at in the PK. So, you know, 4 years ago with the COVID Olympics, the team worked with Alex Hodgent and they did a lot of work on PKs. They did a lot of studying with a Norwegian gear who is quite famous for his work on PKs and the mental side of them, which Canada has always sort of had the stroke. So they've put a lot of focus. And I'm not surprised that Bev, during these years, then they continue to work on them, but they've worked on something else. They brought in Mariah, who was an NWSL player actually played with me in Boston, who is incredible at what she does in terms of connectivity of a team. And we've seen them thrive in that. So the reality is, it sounds crazy, but you can't focus on all things at all times. And they've had a transitional team. This sort of, if you look at the World Cup to this one, it would be the same sort of movement from the 2015 World Cup to the 2016 Olympics. There's been a big changeover. So focusing on like integration of those teams, like players like Awuzo and having them step up. We saw that through the tournament, and they needed it through the tournament. And then you remember in those PKs that we had luck on our side in Tokyo. A lot of really great work happened there to allow them to sort of have these games where it came down to one PK in the game or the PKs themselves, and they got through the tournament by nailing that. They've actually improved as a team. They're a better group of players technically than they were in the last Olympics. But we see that mental side of the game is still a component of the Canadian game that needs to be focused on, because there was a confidence lacking there, for sure, in the penalty side, where you just see the German. It's like what Claire said, it's not a thought. It's just what they do. And I don't know if I think you guys would remember, I ran into Evan randomly. Last night I went for a walk, ran into Evan Pellerud. And I remember.
Was he on his scooter?
No, he was having a walk with his wife. And anyway, we were just, it was so nice to catch up. But he used to tell us to tell the goalkeeper where we were kicking. I don't know if you remember that, but we'd have to tell the keeper where we were, which side we were kicking. And I always thought like that was actually something that really helped, because you had to, like Cara said, you had to hit the perfect PK. They already knew where you were going. If they don't, if they stand in the middle and you hit it properly, they won't save it, even if they know which way you're going. So yeah, it's definitely an area now, like, of course they worked on culture with their emotional support leader and Mariah. Like, the team did an exceptional job at changing or rewriting a narrative that was so negative and wasn't who they were, didn't reflect who they were. And they really showed their resilience, a word that's overused, but had to be something that they fell back on. And the first half, Germany were the better team, but I did think Canada had the better opportunities in the second half. And, you know, on any other day, you know, Dree scores on that breakaway or that, you know, toe poke, or, you mm-hmm. know, Becky makes a decision that's different, or Jesse's on the field, but that's also the game, right? So it was a good reflection of who they are as a team and where they're at. I thought they played really well, and you saw for moments of the game, and you saw where this team is going, even against all odds. So I'm still really proud of them.
I want you to weigh in, Rian, before we move off of this, on Spence and his decision in formation. So it's the same lineup that they started with against France. So it looked very much like it was going to be a 3-5-2, and it wasn't that. It lacked a lot of cohesion going forward. But do you think it was more how they set up and their shape, or do you think it was more the personnel chosen and it just didn't come together? But do you think that was a rare misstep from Spence? Because he's really gotten not only his substitutions right over the course of the tournament, but the lineups and who he goes out with and then who he brings in as the finishers.
Yeah, I would say, sorry, I would say that he, I don't think it, the, of course, that isn't the lineup we would have wanted looking back at the game. But even that lineup was a decision where he wasn't handcuffed by anything prior. Like, he's showing up, he's got nothing to lose as well, right? And I think he's, even this lineup that didn't work, he changed quickly, which isn't what a lot of coaches do. You try and give them till 60, right? Or you try and, and Jesse's a forced sub, of course, with the head injury, which not all coaches would do. I want to highlight that. He put the player's safety ahead of anything else. So big credit to him and his staff. I know they have a great medical staff, including our former teammate, Melissa Tancredi, there. And they put her safety first, which was really important. But I do think that the lineup wasn't firing. And that is something that it's tough to prepare for. I always say that as a coach, and you'll remember it as players, the warm-up is indicative of nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can, that means the training sessions as well in some ways, like you work through it, it can feel so sticky. You're like, this isn't going to work. And then it works, or it's going so smoothly, everything's working out. And then it doesn't in the game for whatever reason. And I do think Jeremy's lineup and how they were playing just sort of, I don't know if it made them nervous, but Canada had a tendency the whole tournament, including Jesse Fleming, of playing backwards much too easily and too without checking their shoulders, without turning forward in dangerous spaces. And I think he put a lineup out that he thought would do that, would play forward, would be comfortable in those spots, and it just didn't work. And he changed it fairly quickly. And that's also why we have subs. So I don't hold that against him, because I think he rotated a lineup, he made changes, he did try different things. And, you know, it's a brave thing to do. We see even, you know, the U.S. with one of the best coaches in the world, one of the best rosters, they're being absolutely torn apart because they haven't made, as in like critique, not making changes. And that's not what Canada did. And so they're almost getting it the other way, that because Spence was, Andy Spence was willing to make the changes, that maybe he got it wrong sometimes, but it's potluck at times. Could be the reason why they won the game as well.
Well, and also I think his lineup works in the second half. It was why they looked so much fresher than Germany. So in some ways it was a success. Maybe it didn't work for the first half, but in the long run, they ended up looking way fresher than Germany. Looked like they were playing underwater in the second half. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in yeah. some ways, I think if he was looking ahead and looking, obviously you can't look past that game against Germany, but at least looking towards the end of the game, who was going to be fresher, who was going to be able to, you know, attack like Canada did. Had they just put one of those goals away, he'd be looking like a genius right now. And they'd be fresher for the semifinals.
Like the formation, I get why he did it, right? I mean, Germany was so strong on the flanks throughout the tournament. Germany's also not rotated very much through their starting 11. But yeah, I mean, I kind of was grouchy about the starting 11 in the first half too. And then the more I've thought about it, I think it was a personnel problem, because they were better at the half. They were better, even better after they made some substitutions a little bit later on. Right. So, I think that, I just think it was, I don't like Heidema just was lost out on the flank, mm-hmm. just totally lost. And playing Fleming as a striker just sort of didn't make sense. And, I don't know it. It just didn't, kind of hit for me. It almost felt like a shame. It felt like kind of this 45 minutes where I know we're looking at it in hindsight, Rian, you're right. But it did feel like a 45 minutes where it's sort of like a wasted opportunity. Like you kind of wish they'd started that way and allowed the game to progress from there. But, yeah, I don't know. It was really too bad.
It was a real momentum swing, though, as well. It was adjustments that the Canadians made, that Spence made. Fleming comes out. I think Becky instantly gives the team a little bit of a lift. But I think you have to give credit to Germany, and especially the way they attacked in the flanks or on the flanks with Brandon Buhl. I think that kept Lawrence pinned back. I think it kept Heidema kind of floating around, not being that useful, not really being... Either the instructions weren't clear and defined, or because Canada lacked a focal point in the attack, I didn't think Prince was very good. I think they come alive in the second half as a result of the subs, but I also think a little bit of fatigue from the Germans. But I want to go back to Awuzo, because there were rumors this morning of Awuzo making the move to Manchester United. And we know what's been happening with Manchester United with the takeover from Ineos and Sir Jim Ratcliffe, and the way that the women's team has kind of been made a little bit of an afterthought. We also know how Adriana Leon was treated when she was there. So do you guys have any concerns about, I mean, the fact that she's at USC? I think you'll see an even bigger jump in her game, I think, with the ceiling that she has and the potential and the promise in her game if she makes the leap to pro. I mean, Jade Rose and how impressive she's been at the Olympics. I think she had an absolutely incredible tournament. Mm-hmm. Could have been, you know, arguably Canada's most valuable player, I would say, still at Harvard as well. So I think that bodes well for this program's future. But yeah. What do you guys think about that potential move if she goes to WSL, but playing particularly for Manchester United?
I mean, I'll jump in. I think the WSL is another option than the NWSL in terms of how they play. And you know, there's certain teams there that are getting kind of a lot of investment. We'll all have our opinion. You know, like I have Welsh players there as well. And I do think the lure of the badge can be tough for Canadian players to turn down, because there's a lot of the games that are played, or the attention that does get on some of the like, big six clubs in England on the men's side. And that kind of can be attractive. I just hope our players in Canada, there's two thoughts. When we were being recruited for universities in the US, we didn't really know as Canadians what we were doing. I think probably Claire Cara did a lot more research than I did, but I ended up at the University of Tennessee. I had a great experience, but I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't mention you in that. I just think like you're like a scholarship. Oh my gosh. And then a lot of Canadians just ended up, I was really fortunate. I had a very good experience, but it was also the Bible Belt. It was also quite a challenging time for me as someone who has, a multicultural family who's got, I felt like it was a tough thing to end up there. But again, I had a wonderful experience, made me a better player for being there. But I see the same thing kind of happening with Canadians now, where this other option of playing in other leagues starts to happen, and they become really, they're high value assets. And I don't think Canadians always appreciate their value. I just hope they do their due diligence and research and don't just rely on agents, which are also are hugely part of the game and can really influence players when there's money involved. Just making the right decisions for them as people, and not just about the coach either, because coaches come and go really quickly. So let it be about the program and the identity of that program, what they're trying to achieve. So making fully considered decisions. So I hope Sammy's doing that.
And I think the important thing is regardless of where you go, is finding the right environment for you. And I think particularly for her kind of coming out of university and kind of transitioning into a professional environment and also starting to make her mark on the national team, I think finding an environment where she's going to play and get game minutes is important. I think Jordan Heidema struggled a little bit with that going over to PSG and just wasn't in an environment where she was playing regularly. And the move back to the NWSL was a smart move for her. I think there's been a few players who've kind of tried that out, but it's finding the right environment. It's finding the right training environment in the program. And that's exactly what Rian's talking about. Cause you're right. It's, you know, coaches come and go sometimes, but finding the best training environment for you and what we think that would be for a player might not be what it actually is for them. So I just hope I agree, like making that decision with her eyes open. I think I had a similar experience with like choosing I was like, what's their biology program like? but
I was not asking those questions.
No,
nor was I.
Oh, that's okay.
I was like, beach?
Right.
And they're good at soccer. Great.
Well, it rains most of the year. Cool. Great. Seattle's it. I hope that she has the support around her to make that decision with her eyes open. Cause I think not a lot of us were afforded that when we were younger.
I think if she can find the right environment though, I think it's a good move for her. I just think she's on the cusp of being an elite player. And I think if she can be in a professional environment, learn to be a true professional, I think it's a good call. You can see it. You can see it watching her game. Like she just needs more reps in a high level environment and she'll get there.
Cause it's that consistency, I think, that she's lacking currently, but you're seeing it in flashes. And you also saw it within that match. Like part of the first half, I thought she was disappointing. And I thought in that match against France, I think that everybody really rose to the occasion. It was a really comprehensive performance where everybody elevated their game. And then Simi, I just thought, lacked a certain spark, like wasn't really firing on all cylinders. And boy, did she ever grow into that game, as you said, Claire. Yeah. And again, like really, I think what's exciting about her game is that she has the physicality, she can win the duels, but she's progressive in the way that she plays. And that's unlike, I think, the like a player of her stature, of her physique, of her size, what she can do in order to support and complement a player like Fleming. But then she also has such an upside in the way that she can kind of drive the attack
from the middle of the park, and she can break lines on the dribble. She can break lines on the pass. Like, she can do so much. I think she just needs to, as you said, Cara, get more of the reps.
And refinement.
Yes, refinement. For sure.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
So in terms of like the tournament takeaways, so we've mentioned how like that Owusu was definitely a bright spot. We've talked about Fleming a little bit, but Canada's back line really shone, didn't it?
The whole back
line. Yeah. Jill in particular. But I think that Kadisha Buchanan, I think I mentioned it a few broadcasts ago, to me is the Kadisha of old.
Yes.
Like what you would come to expect, who has that kind of casual, sometimes ebbs into cavalier, and you're like, oh my God, Kadisha, what's happening? But she gets herself out of trouble and gets her team out of trouble. But it was a return, I think, in Kaylin Sheridan you could include in almost like a back four there. But Jade Rose, mm-hmm. Kadisha Buchanan, Vanessa Gill, backstopped by Kaylin Sheridan, were outstanding this tournament, were they not?
Yeah. Yes. That back line, watching the back line separate from the rest of the team, had the attack been able to figure it out, that back line had me feeling like they could stop anybody. I think they could have shut down the U.S. just like Japan did. Japan shut them down because they were so compact, so organized, they're just so reliable. And I think that's what Canada had. And that part of the game, I think, is another super positive thing going forward, that, you know, just knowing you have that, if all the other pieces had fallen into place, I think that back line was, could have, they were the key so far in this tournament. I think that it they could have, I'm trying to think of anybody else who, I mean, maybe Spain, they would have had trouble with, but at least the U.S., I think they would have handled them.
Yeah, I think she was like the Kadisha Buchanan of old, but of new, because she, I think she's matured and she chooses her times to go forward wisely. But yeah, I mean, we've talked about Jade Rose, and it's kind of, it's really impressive. It's just, I mean, it's ongoingly impressive at how mature and calm she is as well on the back. I mean, there were about three or four times where she almost got torched mm-hmm. by
but Germany. She's able to recover.
And yeah. She just like quietly recovers. And it's one of those ones where you like grab the arms of your chair and then you're like, oh, okay. She's no, that's yeah. fine.
And she's not panicking either. Like, no, we're panicking. She's not. She's got it.
I was having a heart attack and she was not panicking. And just good timing and good patience. So much about defending is patience. And I think all three of them, their the timing on their tackles was mm-hmm. was excellent throughout the tournament. And that's not easy to do, to have all, you know, I mean, I say all three of their backline. There's more players involved, but particularly those three, just such excellent timing. And that makes me happy.
Yeah, I'll be like a little bit critiquey of them because of how great they are. I do. I think that the back line should be the best in the world. They've got the speed, they've got the physicality, they've got the strength, and they have the minutes. So Jade is still fresh. Like, you can see she makes the wrong decision sometimes, but because she's very athletic, I've coached her for a long time. She's fabulous, and I know she's going to get there. It's those decision makings, and I think Keish is one of the best players to ever play for Canada, but she continues to make little mistakes in her game that drive me wild, because she's good enough to not, there are things like with the ball falling just over her head, you know, where because she's so athletic and fast, she gets away with things. And so does Ashley Lawrence. And they play for top clubs where they don't have to always be that sharp week in and week out. And they also get away with it. So I also want, it's almost like a challenge to them. I think they can be even better. I think that Vanessa was my defender of the tournament, not because of all her goals, but Vanessa very rarely gets beaten because she's had to figure out the game, like in terms of space perfectly.
She reads the game so well, doesn't she?
She has to, right? She doesn't have that speed to make up for, she's not slow. I'm saying she doesn't have that blinding speed to make up for a poor decision, where Jade and key to still make them. And I love these players. Don't get me wrong. I just really want to see another level. And my favorite ever player is Ashley Lawrence. I think like if you're building a player, it's an Ashley Lawrence. And she continues to drive me insane because the woman could control any game she plays in. I truly believe that. And for some reason, she disappears in games. You see glimpses of it, moments of it where she takes someone on and gets a great cross in. But I don't see enough of it. And this tournament, again, we saw glimpses of it. And my fear for Ash is she's not held to a standard where she has to do that week in and week out. And I say that she's come from Chelsea. And it's almost like when we talked about choosing the right club. Which club is going to get everything out of you? It's not financial. I'd say that because we never made any money. So like make a decision that's going, you're going to have to be at your very best. And they push you week in and week out because I still believe there's Canadian players who just are playing on the cusp of what they could do. And I hate potential, that word. I've talked about it because potential is nothing achieved. It's the thought of maybe one day. Like these players are in their prime now. We can't keep saying they've got so much potential. I want to see her delivering. And I again think she fell short of her own standards, not just her, by the way, but that's how highly I hold her, that I was like, this was a tournament that I would have felt like Ash would have been our MVP every game.
Do you mean Rian, just a little bit more clarity, well, for me as well, but also for our listeners, in going to a club like Chelsea, which is known for winning, which is one of the best teams in the WSL, do you mean like they've put self-imposed ceilings on their own development as players because there's a lack of parity within the league that they play in?
Yeah, they have so much talent around them as well on the field that there are games that I've seen Chelsea play where they're just not in their own half. You know, and I see it, PSG as well. And then you get one or two games a season where you're really pushed and pressed. And that it's hard to always be on your game and be super sharp if you're not having to do that week in and week out for your club. And I'm not saying don't go to Chelsea. I'm saying she's got to find a way or get a coach that she's got an IDP or individual development plan or, you know, individual performance plan of some sort where a coach is on her for everything. Don't just be good enough. And that's where our top players, of course, are going to go to the big teams and we want them to, but they've also got to continue to drive because they're not, you know, I truly believe women peak in their early 30s. I think that's when women are
50.
At their
I say it's 50.
Well, I think early 50s.
Well, we retired too early, my friend.
It was like, who's your audience? Yeah.
I don't want them to drift in now. I don't want them to cruise in now for the last tournament.
Yeah.
You know, it was the excitement of their first tournaments. Now they're at the prime age. They're at the prime age. Like this was a tournament where Vanessa, Sean, where Jesse had moments. But even Jesse, I'm really not going to hold back because I think it's an opportunity now. Like they've re-shown everyone who they are, which I'm so proud of. And I love their performances, but individually we have players that have ceilings that they're not anywhere near. And, you know, I tell them when I talk to them too, that's the coach in me. I coached a lot of these players and I really want to see them not just drift in, not be good enough, be the best, and they can be. And I hope that's what happens in the next 4 years, whomever then steps in to take the program, just like a swift kick to the backside, please.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect segue. Carl, I'll let you go on this one or go first, but I think Rian, we found a new segment within the broadcast and it's Rian Wilkinson, a little critique-y. So I think this is where we need to go like every couple of weeks. Just
nice.
You put your coach's hat on and then you get a little bit critique-y. I think it's excellent. It's good for the listeners. It's good for us to hear, always learn something. But that's a good kind of segue into what happens next now. I think, you know, Janine Becky is interviewed post-game, everything like
that. I'm just going to have to, because little critique-y's finished and I have to jump into my other job. So it's so nice to see you all. I apologize for being late, but always a pleasure.
Nope. Love it.
Irie.
See you guys.
The contribution. Rian also said Vanessa Sean, but she left like a little bit of a gap, and I thought it was Vanessa comma Sean, and I was like, who is Sean?
Who's Sean?
And then I was like, oh, Sean. Yes. Exactly. But Janine Becky was saying, and this is a quote of hers post game, "I think the players have done everything we can do to show the world what we are, which is a team, a group of players, a group of people that are very high character, high integrity people, human beings." And I think they absolutely did show that over the course of this tournament. But it also means, what is next for this group? Do you guys, like in the short term, I think Craig Ford was asking me, he said, when you guys were there in 2008, and this would have been good for Rian to weigh in on this because she was also in London and in Rio, but we got to stay. We got granted that week to just be Olympians, to be part of that Canadian delegation. And that was like one of the best weeks of my life. even though we got eliminated by the US in the quarterfinals. What's next for these players? So like there's pictures of them on their social media, just kind of getting to experience kind of that atmosphere, the Olympics. But then they'll likely go back to their clubs. Organizationally, do you think that there's going to be real change? There's going to be this external independent review. It's been proven so far to be a systemic issue. Can this be fixed without programs crumbling? Like, why don't we start a little bit more micro first? What do you think is next for these players and for this program in the short term? Claire, why don't you go first?
Oh, Carl looks like she was taking a big breath.
It's just hard to say until you know who's leading. Like, how do you, as a player, I think you're kind of in limbo until you know who your coaching staff is going to be. I mean, as players, they can only do so much on their own to like rally the troops. And I think they did that. I think they did as much as they could in this tournament. We saw exactly the product of that, and they were phenomenal. We talked about their resilience. I think now it's got to come from the top. Now there's got to be clear leadership. There's got to be a clear sign that someone else is going to right this ship. Someone is going to come in and take the lead. And I mean, they've got their work cut out for them, but I also think that they have the benefit of a clean slate. You know, they can totally rewrite everything now. And I mean, it's bad. It looks bad. Everything looks bad. And I think it's only going to get worse. There's only going to be more stuff coming out. So it has to be new faces. I don't think that they can have anybody that's attached to the former program.
But do you think though, if you're, I don't disagree with you about it being difficult to do without a leader in place as a new head coach, but if you wait on that, then, you know, friendlies are already getting booked for the fall. Like, that, does the program lie dormant until such a time as they name a new head coach? Like, it can't be that either, can it?
Can't do that. No, they would. No, you can't do that. I mean, we're talking about all these players on the cusp of being great. How are we going to put that on hold like that? No. I mean, does Andy Spence just continue doing what he's doing? I don't know. I don't know how that looks. And can, this is my question, can, because FIFA has Bev under suspension. That's mm-hmm. a FIFA thing separate. Can the CSA fire Bev right now? They want to? Like, are they just waiting until the tournament is over to do that?
I don't see why they can't.
I think you have to.
I think you have
no,
to.
No, I think you have to, but there's no reason they can't, right? Like, that's
no, I don't think their hands are tied based on what FIFA did and the suspensions. I think that they've so far, the new leadership for Canada Soccer, I think that's been a bright spot. I think that Kevin Blue has done everything right in making things transparent and communicating effectively. So I think when they launch this independent external review, I think they have to absolutely get it done quickly and decisively and have like a clear course of action. And then after that, make sure that the players are involved, and then they know what's happening so that they can continue to develop and move forward and make progress.
Yeah, I think everything happened so quickly at the beginning of this tournament. It felt like a month, but it was only about a week when everything kind of like cooled down. I feel like I've aged 4 years.
You look great.
Thank you. Peaking in my 40s. I think the pace needs to keep up because they may be able to, I agree, but like they need to get friendlies going. And I think part of that is taking advantage of all of the European teams winding up for the Euro next summer. So kind of taking advantage of that and booking some overseas friendlies in Europe, I think would be well within their interest. But yeah, just such an odd, I mean, especially, I think just particularly like right now feels like such an odd limbo time where like investigations haven't kicked off, but I agree with Cara. Like, I don't think there's a way that this gets better quickly. Right. I think there's like a period of time where things just might get a little bit worse before it gets better.
Sorry to interrupt, Claire, do you think that there might be a hesitancy for other nations to face Canada because of what happened with the drone scandal?
On the pitch?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
It's a fair question, though, right?
Given what's happened. I don't think so. I mean,
I think that's overestimating how much the rest of the world cares about this situation a little bit.
Yeah, I think the international media certainly cared a lot about it. I think in Paris, I think that's all that anybody talked about for the first couple of days. And because soccer starts before the tournament, that's all anybody talked about leading up to the opening ceremonies, which was, you know, a little bit unfortunate for the rest of Canada's athletes that were starting early on in the games. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to have trouble booking friendlies. I think they need to do it. And I think they need to book high quality friendlies over the next couple of years. I think that there's some times where they'll book a series where it's kind of like, okay, well, I mean, like, we know you're going to win these games. Mm-hmm. We'll book a series against New Zealand. I mean, not to open the whole New Zealand can of worms again right now, but I think they need to focus on trying to book some high quality friendlies. Like they have to play.
And also preferably not Brazil.
And just like, can we stop? I mean, don't stop playing Brazil, but can they maybe not?
No, let's mix it up a little bit.
Like, let's mix it up a little bit. But I think that's going to require them to travel because I think a lot of those European teams with the vast majority of their players are based in Europe that they're going to have to travel for them. So, they'll probably end up with a home series against Brazil, just because that's what we do apparently. But they should play the Americans. Like I'm surprised. I feel like the cross-border friendly has been underutilized over the last couple of years, and they should test themselves against the Americans more often. So anyway, I mean, I'm just thinking ahead, just preparation wise. I mean, this is not that we keep thinking of this team as like, oh, this is kind of like a young team. They're not actually that young. Mm-mm. And I'm excited to see kind of what's coming up through the youth program. I'm really, again, I will reiterate my disappointment that Olivia Smith didn't make even the 22. Mm-hmm. I think this would have been a really valuable experience for her. Could have used her at some point, but yeah, a little bit disappointing there that they weren't really kind of like thinking ahead to using some of those youth players in this tournament.
Yeah. Cara, did you want to have, because I actually have to wrap things up as well, but just a couple of final thoughts on not only that performance against Germany, but the tournament overall?
I just think the players did exactly what they needed to do in terms of showing the world who they are, what this program is about. In that sense, job done, you know, and I hope that they are enjoying themselves right now in the Olympic Village. I think they deserve that. I hope that they, at least, of course, they're heartbroken that they didn't go on, but I hope that they know how many people are proud of them. And I hope their outlook for the future for this program is positive, because in terms of the talent that we have, I think that it should be. It's just all the other nonsense that needs to be sorted. So I hope for them that finally people can step up and create an environment that allows for the success that these players deserve.
Yeah, that's really well said. So the semifinals, we'll see, as Claire pointed out before I pressed record, rematches of group play. So Spain versus Brazil and Germany versus the USA. So I think
we're calling them.
Pardon me?
And we're calling them too.
Oh, yes, really? This is great. Right.
Signet are calling them. They may not necessarily go out on like main CBC network, but on the website they'll be there, and they may go out on SportsCenter TSN. I can't remember which one. I'm still not clear on that. I just go and talk to my when they tell me to.
It's great. You guys have done a wonderful job kind of accompanying the Canadian fans in their support of these players. So well done to you guys.
Thank you.
And we'll be listening. So thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you. Finally, Cara Lang for showing up. God.
We've done this before, Amy Walsh. Like, we've done one with Cara before.
No, I know.
Oh. Yeah, but... I was supposed to be here last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Shit.
And I cocked it up.
Well, Amy will fill you in.
Anyone who's a regular listener knows that I took full responsibility for that. My fault, but... Thank you, Cara, for joining us. Maybe you can check back in if we do a broadcast post final or tournament wrap up. We'd love to have you back. All right.
Let's just clarify Eastern.
That's right. All right, everybody. Cheers for listening. Thanks for broadening your horizons.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Bye.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh.